Hollywood's top prize.
La La Land.
And a blockbuster of a mistake.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture.
Big week for President Trump.
Budget plans and a major speech ahead.
Airbag Maker's Day in court.
A guilty plea and a $1 billion fine.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. It was a Hollywood ending with a stunning twist that sent the 89th Academy Awards bizarrely off script. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
If you like Hollywood surprise endings, this was the Oscar show for you. A surprise ending to top them all.
The Academy Award.
As the top award.
For Best Picture.
Was being presented.
La La Land.
But sometimes in Hollywood, what seems to be real isn't. That was the case last night.
Sorry, no. There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
Apparently, the wrong envelope was given to the two presenters, Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty. The epic mix-up overshadowed everything else, including a remarkable win for diversity. A year after the hashtag OscarSoWhite campaign, two African-American actors,
Viola Davis
and Mahershala Ali, won supporting Oscars. And Moonlight is a film primarily starring and made by African Americans. Best Lead Acting Awards went to La La Land's Emma Stone and Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea. As for the politics...
Meryl, stand up if you would. Everybody, please join me in giving Meryl Streep a totally undeserved round of applause.
The host, Jimmy Kimmel, made repeated fun of President Trump's tweet calling Meryl Streep overrated. On a more serious note, the Iranian director of the best foreign language film, who boycotted the show, in a written statement called the Trump administration's travel ban inhumane. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Academy Awards in Hollywood.
Well, President Trump was in black tie last night, but nowhere near Hollywood. He toasted the nation's governors in Washington with an eye toward the week ahead. We're live this morning at the White House with CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
Well, President Trump meets again with governors here today.
Perhaps health care will come up. Perhaps.
He mentioned it in a toast at dinner last night.
As most of you know, the Obamacare has had tremendous problems. I won't say in front of the Democrats. I'll just say it to the Republicans. It doesn't work.
But the outlines of a GOP replacement package remain unclear. This morning, the president also meets with insurance company CEOs. And this week, he'll unveil in broad strokes his first budget. Cuts in domestic programs and a major ramp up in defense spending are expected. He's due to elaborate on those proposals in his first speech to a joint session of Congress tomorrow night. Steve?
Well, the Pentagon's due to deliver an ISIS plan to the White House today. A top defense job is still vacant after the nominee for Navy Secretary pulled out. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
Defense Secretary James Mattis issued a statement saying Philip Bilden informed him of the decision to withdraw and that it was difficult, but a personal decision that was driven by privacy concerns and challenges he faced separating himself from his business interests. Mattis says he will now make another recommendation to President Trump for Navy Secretary.
The father of the Navy SEAL killed a month ago in an anti-terror raid in Yemen is demanding an investigation. Bill Owens tells the Miami Herald the operation was a grand display with no target worth an American life. And he says he refused to meet with President Trump when the president went to Dover Air Force Base to greet the casket. Owen says the family wanted a private affair. Police are investigating and money is being raised to repair more than 100 headstones damaged over the weekend at a Jewish cemetery in Philadelphia.
I don't know why this happened. I don't know why anything like this would happen.
These are headstones that weigh, some of them, tons. This was done deliberately.
The incident comes a week after more than 150 headstones were vandalized at a Jewish cemetery outside St. Louis. Well, the Japanese auto parts maker Takata is due in court today in Detroit in the deadly airbag inflator case. We're live with CBS's Mike Sugarman.
And they're expected to pay $1 billion, Steve, in penalties. Executives have been indicted on charges that they falsified test reports, and they're expected to tell a Detroit judge that, yes, in fact, they tried to hide a big problem. In an accident, Takata airbags can explode, driving shrapnel and debris into drivers and into passengers. At least 16 people worldwide have died that way. 180 people have been hurt. Tens of millions of Takata airbags have already been recalled. Steve?
New Orleans police say the driver accused of careening his vehicle into a Mardi Gras crowd Saturday had a blood alcohol level 3 times the legal limit. 28 people were hurt. Firefighter Gino Ascani says the 25-year-old man was in a fetal position behind the wheel when he got to the scene.
When you take a truck and you plow through a crowd of people standing shoulder to shoulder and no one dies, there's no other explanation but a miracle.
The U.S. Supreme Court hears the case today of a registered sex offender who's testing a law that blocks social media use. CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohn.
He was so happy that a traffic ticket against him had been dismissed that he went onto Facebook and he thanked Jesus. And for that, for accessing a social media site, he was charged and convicted for violating the terms of North Carolina's sex offender registry. The justices took the case clearly to consider the First Amendment implications of all of that.
A racing veteran who hasn't had much luck at NASCAR's biggest race was able to change all that yesterday.
Daytona 500 winner Kurt Busch says it was partly the strategy, partly the equipment, not to mention luck.
The circumstances that happen out on the track and avoiding wrecks, you just have to be lucky. And I was thankful that I was able to slide through a lot of these wrecks and be in position at the end.
Busch says he knew he was running out of gas, but so were the less experienced drivers he had to beat. Peter King, CBS News at Daytona International Speedway.
Well, Bill Paxton got a mention at last night's Oscars. The actor who died at 61 was never nominated, but was in Oscar-winning films.
Are you ready to go back to Titanic?
He also fought the elements in Twister.
It's not going to drop anywhere near. It's going to drop right on us.
Paxton died from complications from surgery. Joseph Wapner was a judge who became a TV star.
My judgment is for the plaintiff for $95.
Wapner, who ruled on the People's Court for a dozen years, died at 97 years old. The latest analysis finds gasoline prices have been inching up over the past few weeks.
We're starting to pay a bit more again for regular gas at the pump, $2.33 a gallon on average, now up 2 cents the last 2 weeks.
This current price is 56 cents above what it was 1 year ago, and that is one of the reasons that demand for gasoline has been softening.
Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg with a breakdown showing gasoline prices in Los Angeles the highest in the country and oil country Tulsa with the lowest. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Well, Kevin O'Connell finally had reason to celebrate at the Oscars. The sound re-recording engineer snapped an 0-for-20 skid last night. He won for sound mixing on Hacksaw Ridge with his 21st nomination. O'Connell owned the record for the most nominations without a win. He got his first way back in 1983 for Terms of Endearment. That's the World News Roundup for Monday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.